model GF, podcaster BF. And she says, what does that mean? And I just go, it's just, it's a compliment, but also a joke.
The phone bit was, I wonder if Google Maps would still work if you brought back a smartphone. I mean, it would work, I guess, like if it had stored data. Like sometimes, you know, you've got like a sat nav in your car and, you know, you'll be in like an underground parking garage and it'll have like some stored data on it. But it, you won't be able to plan like a new route until you get network access. But it's more like, I guess, what would the purpose of the map be? You'd be like, oh, there's a great like boba tea place right around here. Oh wait, no, there's not, because it's 1500. Turn right at ye old major thoroughfare. Yeah, I don't know, man. It would be I really don't want to go forward in time. Like, I think that that's much worse, like from an operational standpoint, than going back in time. But I definitely also don't want to go back in time more than 10 years. More than 15 years. There's a lot of modern conveniences. Why not forward? I don't know. Forward's just scary, right? Because, like, I feel like if you're going forward, you're trying to satisfy this idea of, you know, curiosity of, like, I wonder what the world is going to look like in 100 years or whatever. But, like, it just seems like even going forward in time, like 2 years would be scary, right? Like, can you imagine if in 2018 you got in a time machine and popped out in like, you know, April 2020? And we're like, what the hell's going on? You're in like, you know, downtown New York City and nobody's out and everybody's that is out is wearing masks and stuff like that. You'd be like, what the hell happened here? Like, I guess if you believe in the idea that, you know, the story of humanity is like a perpetual rising graph of like quality of life, then I welcome you to use your time to travel powers to go forward in the future. For me, I kind of feel like the devil I know is better than the devil I don't. I feel like I'm happy as where I stand. I think I'd go back. I mean, going back in time is like, I mean, it's just I don't want to say it's a better option like universally. Because, I mean, like, definitely, like, going forward in time is what you do if you cryogenically freeze yourself, right? You know, if you've got something that you need medical science to advance to the point where it could, like, help you out or something like that, then I understand completely. But going back in time, if you get the dilemma, is undefeated. It's like a superpower. Like, you basically become very rich if you want to. And you also, probably, if you wanted to, you could be like a celebrity, because they'd be like, what the heck? This guy, he's really good at predictions, you know? Plus, you'd get to like do cool stuff again. Like, dude, can you imagine the street cred you would have gotten if you went to r/Marvel Studios and posted the exact line-by-line plot synopsis of Avengers Infinity War? People would be like, what? This guy's so good. Yeah, take me back to when people were using bitcoins to buy pizzas, and then I'm gonna get into the pizza business. we're not selling bitcoins. We're selling the picks and shovels. Anyway, I don't know. I've never been convinced that the future would be better for time travel than the past. I feel like, you know, with the future, you're only getting one thing. You're getting this to see a point in history that you might, or a point in human existence you might otherwise never be able to see. Doesn't interest me all that much. I think I'd rather just live like in, you know, the modern times, but with severe advantages. Cause like, you know, okay, this is gonna blow your mind. Traveling to the past means that you already live in the MF in future. If you travel back to 1990, you've already been to the future, man, in 2020. If you remember, were you fearful for the future 25 years ago? I was 8. No, sorry, I was 7. I I've got some memories from when I was seven, not so much related to existential dread. More related, I beat Mega Man X that year, I think. At least I have strong memories of really struggling on launch, Octopus in particular. And even to this day, if I play Mega Man X, when I come against Launch Octopus, like I dread it. I'm like, oh man. But then he's like, not that bad. You just have to use the roll shield, right? If you just use the roll shield, you're good. Anyway, that's, I'm exhausted on bits today. I'm out of bits. I'm bitless. Kissing the bitless. Dissing the bitless by the shins. The shins, baby. Remember the shins, baby? Oh, caring is creepy. Maybe if you care about the music the shins make, it's caring is cringy. Anyway, the shins, baby. Stop this? No, I don't have... Anybody else listening to the shins or just me? Oh, Inverted World is a sick album. It's pretty good. I liked it a lot when I was in high school. I like it decently now. I still think Caring is Creepy is a better album, though. I think Shoots Too Narrow. I think Shoots Too Narrow is a better album. Different strokes for different folks, though. I wish I understood any of this man's musical references. If you ever got a time machine, take yourself back to about the year 2002. You're going to go to a website, pitchforkmedia.com. And then you, too, can have indie rock credit in the early 2000s. Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. You've been watching on YouTube for a long time. This is the first time on Twitch. Slightly different vibe here, but you know, more conversational. If you like the back and forth banter, Twitch is the your main Marty. If you like the solo driven banter, you know, I understand the appeal of YouTube. Which chip has the best shape? It's a great question. I'm trying to, dude. I really like the shape of Sun chips. Like, the wave shape creates multiple different loci points. What's the word I'm looking for? There's turbidity. Creates multiple points that where there is a disproportionate amount of seasoning powder, which is delicious. I very much enjoy a Sun chip, for sure. In general, chips with folds, I think, get a great texture and a great amount of seasoning powder as well. Take the heart. Oh, yeah, good point. Flavor nodes. Exactly. Nucleation. That's the word I was trying. I was trying to think of the word, but also I was trying to think of how to explain what word I was looking for. And I was not coming to any conclusion about how I was going to explain nucleation. I was, you know, the word when things collide and divide from one another due to their structure. Thank you for saying nucleation. You've saved my life here. I never would have expected I'm too dumb for potato chip talk. Well, it's just, I think I just phrased it in a silly way, you know? I think the more folds something has, and the more creases and the more crinkles, the more uneven the flavor distribution will be. And uneven distribution is actually good because it creates pockets of unbelievable flavor. Does that mean you would eat fried intestine? I have. Like, I've eaten makjang, which I believe is pig intestine in Korea. I don't like the flavor, is what it comes to. Like, it has a lot of flavor, for sure, which I think proves the point. However, the flavor is not appealing to me. You got me thinking about chips now, though. Pirate's Booty, also great, man. I know I already said it'd be schmackin', but the other thing I didn't even mention about you eating chips, you little bitch. How many bitcoins did you pay for that? The Sun chips, you little bitch. Anyway, so they do something with the Pirate's Booty, man. I don't know how they do it, but the first little bite is like, it's smooth, crunchy. You know, like, you can tell it's crunchy, but it's also a little soft, even though those are two flavors that are diametrically opposed. But then the finish bite, I don't know if it's got like extra rice in the towards the end or something like that, but it's like crispy crunchy. And you're like, man, it's there you go. It's like an oily crunch versus a dry rub. Gets the people going. Gets me going. Whenever I hear crispy, I think of the Krispy Kreme meme. Oh, you mean back at it again at the Krispy Kreme? Dunk, 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 goo. Favorite donut? There's a hot debate in Vancouver. There are three eminent donut chains, all of which are good. Actually, all of which are great. There is a place called Cartem's. They predominantly sell cake type donuts with a certain hipster bend to them. Like you can get just, you know, like an old fashioned donut. You can get a glazed jelly donut. But you can also get, you know, some kind of like more weird stuff, you know, like a Parmesan donut and stuff like that. And you might think that it's just made to be like hipster. They're really good. They do not just taste like you're eating cheese. The cheese adds like a nice little, you know, certain saltedness and a little aroma as well. But it's still delicious. There's another place called Lucky's. They also do cake style donuts. And there's a big debate between those two about whose donut is better. There is a third place that's called Lee's Donuts, which is located in the tourist hotspot of Vancouver Island. Pick up the hearts, son of a... Also good. But Lee's Donuts is more of a... Those are more like the Tim Horton style, like bready donuts. I'm a cake donut man, personally. Croissant-style donut. Dude, I've never... Sorry, when I said Vancouver Island, I meant Granville Island. Yeah. Lee's Donuts, located on Granville Island. Much different than Vancouver Island. Both are islands. That's the... And they're both in British Columbia, and I've been to them both. But that's the only similarity. What is a cake donut? It's like, you know... It's like donut, but the flour... Or like the texture of the donut itself is more cake-like than... I don't know what the alternative is, but you know, like sometimes you have a donut and when you bite into it, it's like there's a top and a bottom, but no middle. Like as soon as you bite into it, it just flattens the donut. A cake donut is not like that. It's soft and squishy. It's the difference between cake and bread, yeah. You don't have to overthink it. Cake donut it's got the texture of cake. I'm struggling to remember what you would describe the other donut as. Normal donut? I got nothing against the normal donut, but the cake donut, it's just do be tastier. Oh, I didn't know. So what the other, like the default donut shape, or well, circle, but the default donut is made via a rising action of yeast, whereas the cake is simply a batter. You know, it makes perfect sense. That's why I don't work in the donut sciences. I'm merely an enthusiast. Can of corn. Anything going on in your life? In need of a banter catalyst, I guess. So it's just, so we're going to be here for a bit. I became a homeowner this week. That's pretty sick. Welcome to the Homeowners Association. You're keeping me occupied. Thank you. This is my job description. If I wanted to have nobler aims for my content, I would, you know, maybe script or edit or something. I'd release 10-minute and 5-second long videos on YouTube that had like a reason to exist. Instead, I make idle content for idle time, and I embrace that. The most recent VOD on the most recent VOD on YouTube is hilarious. What's the most recent VOD on YouTube? National Anthem tier list went. Oh no. I'm more of a flag guy, like National Anthem. I'm trying to think. The Russian national anthem is incredible. Like, it is definitely at near the top. It's in the top tier, for sure. I'm not that impressed. Like, you know, you might think that there's kind of like a home bias. I don't really have, you know, I mean, I have nothing against the Canadian national anthem, but also, like, you know, I don't find it particularly inspiring or anything like that. I will say, though, if you hear it enough in school, you know it's going to be a good day when they bust out the... This is for my Canadian students only, so I apologize. Doo-doo-doop, 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 ba-ba-ba-ba, da-doo-doo-doo. You know what I'm talking about? When I forget the name of the band, but they're like a famous Canadian a cappella group that I guess also made a national anthem that became popular in Canadian middle schools and high schools. And then there were like five of them, and they'd in the background they'd be going like, and at the end it's like, oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee. Bum, 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 bum. Oh, Canada, we stand on guard. Bum, 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 bum. And I can't hit the last notes, but you know. Then at the very end, they go, Canada. It's a classic bop. The Nylons. That's you're going to laugh. In my head, I was thinking it's the Divinyls. But I knew it wasn't them because the Divinyls... are the band that sing When I Think About You, I Touch Myself, from Austin Powers 1. But I knew that it was some kind of fabric. Is being a Canadian an asset on Twitch? You know, originally I was going to say, like, it doesn't matter. But I think it kind of... I wouldn't say it's an asset, but you get the ability to come out on top no matter who's getting dissed, you know? The two most frequently dissed countries on English-speaking Twitch, definitely England and the United States of America. So, as a Canadian, you're very well positioned. Because when people diss America, you go like, yeah, I know, right? Haha. You know exactly how to hurt them. And then when Americans are dissing England, you're like, yeah, I know. What are they naming things? All sorts of funny names. Why are you calling it a lorry, dude? It's just a truck. You think you're better than me just because you got a cool accent? So I think being a Canadian is well positioned to that extent. Yeah, that's about it, though. What about when they diss the Queen? Most people in Canada don't really care for the monarchy unless you're like, you know, like quite literally like over the age of 90. What about when people diss your flag? I mean, I don't know. You can diss the Canadian flag if you want. You know, there's no accounting for taste. Canadian flag is pretty sweet, though. It's unique and it's striking. Yeah, it's a leaf. So what? All I'm saying is if you're making fun of the Canadian flag and you're from one of the 75 countries whose flag is just like three stripes, like, know your place. We tried something a little different. Nobody ever forgets which one the Canadian flag is. Yeah, that's the other... I'm actually a little jealous if you're from one of the like, tricolor flag countries. Because you get... Like, it must have been so easy to draw it. Trying to draw the Canadian flag in elementary school? Oh, my God, man. It's hard to draw a maple leaf. And you're always like, how many points are on it? And then how many points does each point have? And, like, it's annoying. It's not like the British flag. Like, I think you just you want to make the English flag. All you need is like a red pencil crayon and a ruler. Well, if you live in Maryland, then just like, you know, best of luck to you. I'm not that impressed with the Canadian national anthem. You know, it's not. I would not say is bad. I would not say is good. I would just say like when I hear it, my heart swells a little bit. But that's about it. It's fine at best. I don't go like this is... I would never listen to it just... you got to be some kind of certified nut. If you're Canadian and you listen to the Canadian national anthem for pleasure, you're a certified freak, man. If I went over... If someone was in the passenger seat of my car and they were like, yo, pass me the aux cord, and then they put on O Canada, I would drop them off at the hospital. That's a cry for help. Does Canada have a Pledge of Allegiance? Not really. No, the answer is simply no. But By not really, I mean hell no. Pledge of Allegiance, I mean, it probably weirds you out if you're American too, but it's kind of, it's like a little strange, right? Like every day before school, you gotta promise to like uphold the values of the United States or something. Like, it's very weird. Like, if you saw that in a movie, it would be the bad guys who are doing it. Even just listening to the national anthem every day is weird. Like, I don't know if every school did it, but like in Canada, at least at my school, you definitely had to listen to the national anthem every day before class and stand up for it. And you're like, why? I don't know, I guess you're like saying, I don't want to be controversial, I guess. I'm just like, dude, I've heard this song literally like 10,000 times. You think it, like for high school, what if they just gave you like 8 extra minutes of, I guess it's not that long, but they give you a few extra minutes of learning every day instead or something. I don't even remember the U.S. national anthem. That happened to me in college too. Like in middle school, elementary school, high school, you hear Oh Canada constantly. Then you go to college, you might never hear it. You go to a sporting event and you're like, I don't even think I remember the words. Plus, adding to the confusion, oftentimes in Canada they play the anthem half in English and half in French. So I'm like, I don't know how the anthem starts in French and I don't know how it ends in English. Yeah, for real. I don't know. I think that's kind of cool though. I would rather they do half in English, half in French than what they do on like the airplane where they do the announcements in English and then in French. Can you imagine? The Canadian flag is also like really recent. I mean, much like our country, I suppose. I feel like a lot of people don't know. I mean, a lot of Canadians. I wouldn't expect anybody from outside the country to know. The country is only like, or the flag is only like 50 years old. They did a contest in the 1960s. And we're like, you know, hey, make us a flag. And then I guess someone was like, check it out, man. Two stripes with a little leaf in the middle. Lester B. Pearson was like, this is the best shit I've ever seen, man. This is perfectly embodies the spirit of this nation. Print it out immediately and sew it onto every backpack in all 10 provinces and 3 territories. Yeah, there was like, because I think, maybe it was like 1997 or 1998. There was like the 30th anniversary of the flag. And there was like, I was in elementary school at the time. So I'm sure they were just like, you know, here's an easy lesson. So they had us read a book about the flag and then, you know, draw it 70 times. And it's pretty recent. I don't know about O Canada. Like, I'm pretty sure God Save the Queen was the anthem until sometime in the 20th century. Yeah, bro, we got 10 provinces up here. 10 provinces, 3 territories. You thought there were only 4? You're thinking of British North America. Quit living in the 17th century, my man. What do you work for the Hudson's Bay Corporation? Come on. What's the difference between provinces and territories? Bro, I got no idea, to be honest with you. I've lived here for my entire life minus 1 year. I have absolutely no clue. I'm sure there's a difference. I'm sure the difference is probably meaningful in a way that doesn't impact, you know, my life, but impacts, like, you know, the bureaucracy and legislation or whatever. But it beats me, man. I got no clue. Do Canadians care at all about the monarchy? Older, in my limited experience, older Canadians might. I don't know anybody, or I've never met anybody, I should say, under the age of like 60, probably honestly a lot older, that was like, that cares at all. But definitely, it's a little wild. Like, when I used to go to hockey games in my hometown with my grandpa, like, the hockey rink has like had a huge portrait, like probably like a 10-foot high portrait of Queen Elizabeth II. They would always like shine a spotlight on it during the national anthem and stuff. Seems super weird in hindsight, but, well, like the Prince Philip's funeral was on like our public broadcasting station here as well. So there's like There's definitely some, I mean, connection, but particularly amongst the older Canadians. Younger Canadians, I don't think care, basically, at all. He said it. He said amongst us. Only old people watch CBC anyway. Dude, I mean, I wanna like the CBC, but like every time I'm on baby duty and then I like open the TV, it's not the TV guide like the magazine, but you know what I mean. Like the electronic guide. The CBC is always playing Coronation Street, man. I don't wanna watch Coronation Street. I'm 32 years old. It's great too. Like I grew up thinking that, because my grandma watched Coronation Street, I grew up thinking it was like the height of British TV. And then I brought it up on stream one time, and people were like, Coronation Street is like pure trash. It is like only watched in the UK by like people who like have no taste. Hello, Chibli. That wasn't meant to be like people who have no taste. Hello, Chibli. That was meant to, it was just an inconvenient moment of timing. I apologize. Oh, yeah, EastEnders as well. EastEnders is popular amongst the older audience here. Ryan, should I play Isaac? I've never played. It's a question that honestly, like, I've thought about. I don't know. Like, I like Isaac a lot. But I do sort of feel like I responded to Lawrence, you know, ex-Inside Gaming Lawrence on Twitter. He was like, should I get into Isaac? And I was like, man, honestly, like, I don't know. It's, like, harder to get into than, like, One Piece, I think, at this point. There's so many different mechanics stacked up on top of so many different mechanics. Like, I think it's fun to play, especially if you have the tolerance for the, when you're streaming it, for the unbelievable amount of backseating you're going to receive. Like, if you consider that a positive, then I would say, why not? Why not give it a try, Chib? On the other hand, I'm also like, Chib, your streaming time is so valuable. Don't waste it on Isaac, dude. Surely you can find, like, another, like, internet portal that's still running Java applets or something like that and engage in, you know, like, online bowling or, you know, maybe you could find like a Japanese site where they bet on those like virtual hort races, virtual horse races and stuff like that. That could be cool. Jim said he did find a virtual horse racing website. Yeah, dude, I could totally picture you like surrounded by a bunch of salarymen yelling at like one of those weird plastic horses as it goes around the track. I'd watch that. Absolutely. Actually, it's called Ume Musume Pretty Derby. I went to an actual horse race at Hastings Racecourse, and it was pretty sick. Honestly, that's pretty cool. Like, I've never been to a horse race. I would go once for, just for fun, you know? Just to experience it. God, I hate Isaac. Sorry to hear that. Keep it up. Proud of you. I mean, it's not like I think here's what I would say, okay? I got stunlocked for a moment and then I came up with a punchline. Left arm, people who hate Isaac. Right arm, people who love Isaac. Caption, hating watching NL play Isaac because he never talks about the game at all. Something like that. You know, it could work. Took me a second to figure something out, but we kind of came up with it. Occasionally people come in and they're like, I'm enjoying the stream, but I wish you would tone down the banter like 20%. Literally, like, I can't disagree, but I also don't know how. Like, it's not like a dial. It's just like, you know, it's just some runs you've, I don't know. I just like, I don't feel good about myself. Full stop. No, I'm trying to think of the way that I would describe it, okay? It's something like, doing this job is absurd, but as long as you don't actively, every moment, acknowledge that you're doing the job, if you can, you know, enter into some kind of delusion that you're an entertainer or you're, this is like weird alt comedy or something like that, then you don't think about it. The second I find myself doing commentary like like I did during the rain game, where you're like, and then I'm going to go over here and do this. It all comes crashing down on me, and I'm like, what the hell am I doing? I'm just saying what's happening on the screen, and it's like, what am I doing with my life? This is, they can obviously see that I'm going over here because it's on the screen, so why are you saying it? And I'm like, because I don't have anything else to say right now, and I lose confidence in myself. So the banter is not a is not like a Boolean on-off sort of thing. Seen any cool poops in the street lately? Great question. Thank you. No. I'm the outside era is temporarily on hiatus, because if you can just do it for yourself. This is a bit that has some at-home participation. If you type Vancouver weather into, you know, a search engine right now, you will see that we are expected to have rain for the next 10 days. So it's going to take a little bit. Now, it doesn't, when it's raining, it's not like it rains 100% of the time, but it's going to, you know, it's going to minimize the outdoor exposure for sure. Which dad archetype are you at the barbecue? I'm not even going to ask you what the dad archetypes are. I'm going to prognosticate. I don't know why I went alt path, by the way, but I'm going to prognosticate on what the dad archetypes are. One would be a dad who tries to take control of the grill or gets very pushy about the barbecue and is like, hey, are you going to flip those? Hey, you should flip those. Can you flip that one? Like, that's definitely the grill master dad. Even if he's not in charge of the grill, he's like, this is my domain. I feel like there's like, don't worry about it, dad. That is like, even if a kid like, you know, cracks a tooth open or something like that, they're just like, nah, we'll deal with it later. Ah, don't worry, they're kids. Don't worry about it. Hey, the kids are playing with the fireworks in the shed again. Ah, don't worry about it. You know, they're kids. That's what they do. Chill dad. There's daycare dad. I hate to say it, but I have been daycare dad when I go to like my in-laws place, which only happened before I was a dad. But that's where like I would go. It's the dad who's not a dad yet, I guess is a good way to describe it. So like when I would go to my in-laws place, they clearly like, I don't want to say they were sick of their kids, right? Because that's not what I mean. But they were like, finally, there's another adult here. How about like you play with the kids so we can have the only break, you know, we've had in months. I've been that daycare dad at my in-laws place for sure. But I don't know. At the barbecue, what kind of dad am I? I don't know. Don't have an answer. Dad who offends the host by bringing his own beer. And then when the host says, you know, we had beer, just going, yeah, but it's, yeah, the craft beer dad. Maybe I'm the craft beer dad. Every barbecue I've ever been to has been BYOB. Dude, I don't think I've been to, like, I haven't been to too many barbecues as an adult. We had some in college for sure. But like social barbecues, honestly, the thing is I live far away from my family. And I live in a city where if you have like a deck that can support more than five people, you're a literal multimillionaire. So I don't think I'm in barbecue country. I'm not in the barbecue stage of my life right now. Mining Bitcoins? What's the ABV on that bear? Why'd you bring your own bear? We have bedlat with lamb. You don't like Mats Clamata? It does not work at all. That being said, you don't like Mertz Clamurder? That works! How many Bitcoins do you own? That's two different people having a conversation right now. Do you own any altcoins? Oh my god, is that Mertz Clamurder? This is... Minus two me. I'll take it. Minus two? Thank you. Minus one? I'll take it. Origin a bit, please. Viral tweet where someone said whenever their computer fans start making a lot of noise, they look at their computer and say, are you mining Bitcoins, you little shit? Then applied Valley Girl voice. And now I don't even know. It's just added on. It's like dropping a piece of chewing gum on the floor. Like, it's got so much unique character now. The flavor is tough to describe, or stomach for that matter. Stop asking me when I'm going to do hot tub streams. The answer is never. Due to my copious amounts of body hair and current incarnation of the dad bod, I couldn't weather the slings and arrows of chat if I took my shirt off on camera. Just get over it, okay? At some point, I'm going to bite the bullet. I'm going to buy a Peloton. I'm going to get freaking jacked. It's going to be incredible. I'm going to turn into Lance Armstrong. I've already got the testicular configuration to make it work. Then I'm going to get laser hair removal on my entire body, except on my head. Instead of a laser, I'm going to get a hair transplant, and then I'm just going to be like, what? I just changed my style up. It's not a hair transplant. I got it cut different, and then I guess it started growing back. And then you're all going to be sorry. Then you're all going to be sorry, man. I'm going to start wearing a suit on stream. I'm going to start streaming at 7 a.m. Pacific time. I'm going to start getting a spray tan. Dude, I was talking with Kate about tanning. It's crazy. The way I understand it, tanning has deservedly fallen out of fashion as people have, you know, realized that it's, you know, gives you an incredibly high, I guess I shouldn't say incredibly high, but a much higher risk of skin cancer. And also is just, you know, ages you prematurely as well. But it's crazy. I don't know if you're my age and, you know, the OC was super popular when you were in high school. Kids were high school students were freaking like going tanning in like their 10th grade. Like they're going to tanning salons. They got like a $100 gift certificate for Christmas from their grandma, and they're going to tanning salons. It's like the you know, at the same time we were in high school, we're like, I wonder what's gonna like age badly about mid 2000s culture, because I feel like we got it all figured out. Like, I'll tell you one thing, letting minors blast themselves with ultraviolet radiation, like just so that they can look a little cooler. Anyway. Oh, and frosted tips. They don't get a lot of vitamin D down in the mines. Okay, haha. When I said miners, I meant, you know.
From the miners' mines.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, I don't know. I meant people under the age of 18. If you're over the age of 18 and you want a tan, that doesn't, it doesn't bother me either way, I suppose, but at least you're making like an informed decision at that point. It is crazy to think about too. Like, you know, when I turned 18, I was like, finally, like the law recognizes that I'm like ready to make my own decisions. When you're 14 and you think of being an 18-year-old, you think of somebody in like a three-piece suit. When I'm 32, I think back at, you know, both myself and also my friends at the age of 18, and I was like, we were so insanely stupid. That's really young. I look back at myself at like 25 and I'm like, man, I was pretty dumb. Food poisoning isn't real? What are you thinking, man? Specifically mouth? No, not so much mouth. Just in general. What about Uncrustables? No, I stand by that one. I love meal prep. I got nothing against meal prep. But meal prepping sandwiches doesn't make any sense to me. That's one that I don't quite understand. I stand by my position in the sandwich argument. Still eating fish and chips with cutlery? More people are... The older my demographic gets, the more people are going to come to my side on that one. I firmly believe. I think people will... As you get older, there's a lot of graphs that change values. When you're young, your distaste for doing the dishes is like 99. You're like, I'd rather cut off like an appendage than even freaking touch the sink. You know? You scramble eggs. You go, I'm going to eat the eggs. You put water in the egg pan and then you leave it in the sink for like, you know, 2 days. And then you're like, hey, why is your dirty pan in the sink? And they're like, it's sulking. Yeah, for 2 days? I don't think it's sulking. I think it's fermenting. But that's all I got. Anyway, so your distaste for dishes is up here. Your desire to do dishes as you get older actually goes up, I think. I can't figure out how to do this in the mirrored camera, but essentially, I don't mind. I mean, Kate does the dishes most of the time, and she can hear me, so I'm not going to try to pretend like I do more of the dishes than she does. However, doing the dishes doesn't bother me now. It's just something you got to do, you know, every day or so in order to keep the place tidy. So my desire to keep my hands clean is way higher than my distaste for doing the dishes. I think most people, or at least many people, will reach a point at some point in their lives where they decide, you know what, I could just eat this with a fork and then my hands won't get like kind of oily and gross, and then I'll just wash like an extra fork and knife after I eat. Because I mean, those are very easy pieces of they're very easy dishes to wash in general. I eat some foods with my hands still. You know, like if we go to McDonald's, I'm not eating the French fries with a knife and fork, but I mean, you could persuade me to do it, I think. I don't see what you get out of it when you eat it with your hands. I'm not trying to like dredge up the argument. This is more of like a director's cut. It's a revisiting many years later. What you get out of eating fish and chips with your hands is you don't... Hold on, have we been to our item room? We need to make Boss Rush. You don't have to dirty up a fork and or a knife, even though you could probably just use the fork to cut it up to begin with. And, I mean, I guess, people keep saying it's easier. I don't think it's easier. I think they're the same difficulty. Like, our baby uses a fork, and she's not even 7 months old yet. So, the argument that one's easier than the other falls on deaf ears for me for the time being. What I think you get out of it, I honestly think it's like a flex. Like, I think it's one of those things where it's like, you know, growing up, you only use a knife and fork to eat pizza if you're like an out-of-touch millionaire. And I'm not an out-of-touch millionaire. I'm an everyman. I'm a man of the people. So as a result, I identify with the hand eaters. I don't see it like that. I don't think I'm better than anybody else because I eat fried foods with a fork and a knife. There may be some other reasons that feed into the superiority complex. I just think it's... I just prefer not having oily hands is really what it comes down to. I don't like having oily hands and then constantly doing the gambit of, am I going to wipe my oily hands knowing I'm just going to pick up the fish later in a second anyway, and then have to, you know, it's the nihilist napkin. I'm a fork and knife man. So you don't drink soup from the bowl either? I use a spoon. Help me. I use a spoon for the soup, for sure. Trying to figure out what you're saying here. I mean, the argument that you're making of like, you know, the trump card of like, why not just use your fork and knife to eat pizza? You're absolutely right. But it's not the wild card you think it is. Instead, I'm like, sometimes I do. It's just, I don't know. It's just my hands feel nicer. I you know, not always. It depends on the situation. Like cold pizza from the fridge, usually I'll just grab it with my hands. But like sometimes if the pizza's piping hot, I'll use a knife and fork, man. And the only argument I've heard against it is cultural, which falls on deaf ears for me. It's like, you know, who do you think you are using a knife and fork to eat pizza? I'm like, I'm the guy who doesn't want to, you know, use four napkins to eat two slices of pepperoni pizza, I guess. I think the important thing is both sides in the debate feel like the other side is insane. That's what I've noticed. There's logical arguments in favor of both. I just prefer the logical arguments from overuse of the fork and knife versus underuse. Yeah, like oftentimes, I mean, it's been a long time since I had a burger because I haven't, you know, been to a restaurant since, you know, 2019. Well, that's not true, but it's since 2020 for sure. But I use a knife and a fork to eat a burger sometimes. Usually, not the first few bites, but if it falls apart on me, they got the knife and fork there. I'll deconstruct it a little bit and eat it that way. Do you use a knife and fork on wings? I've been known to. I don't find it that. I mean, what's the argument against it instead of like just it's not the norm? I don't understand. Honestly, kind of based. That's what I'm saying, man. I've been telling you I'm based for years. I mean, I don't use like a, hold on, we got to make boss rush. I think we got to make a sacrifice here. I don't use like a, like with a chicken wing, I don't slice a little piece off, but I might use a knife and fork to crack like the joint on the bone. And then, you know, it's much easier to eat the wing from that position. I'm just not giving anybody any machismo credit for, you know, eating something with their hands just to do it. Game Ovaries 420. What a name. Thank you. Thank you for the gifted subs. Thank you. Do you use a knife and fork with sushi? No. I mean, I don't use a fork for soup either. I use chopsticks for sushi. A sandwich is preferable with your hands, for sure. If it falls apart at the end, though, I'm not just eating it, I'm not just using my hands to pick up, like, you know, aioli-drenched lettuce leaves or whatever. I'll use a knife and fork to ensure that you get a representative cross-section of the sandwich. Honestly, you guys aren't invited to my barbecue anyway, so I wouldn't sweat the decorum too much. I know what kind of dad Chad is. That's what I'm realizing. This is all coming back to the barbecue bit. You're the dad that makes comments about everything. Whoa, knife and fork, huh? What's that about? You like those shoes? New Balances. How do you feel about those? Maybe that guy was right. Maybe 20% less banter would be good. By the way, I saw Apollo in chat. Hello, Apollo. French fries, fork or nah? Either or. Like, I don't know. I guess, like, I've misrepresented myself by taking the position that, like, it's categorically one or the other. Like, it's whatever you're into, right? There's no reason to not use a fork. In a lot of situations, there's no reason to use a fork. Like, you can do, it's one of those foods you could definitely do either or. Why is there packing tape going on outside? Some of the sounds that exit my office, or that happen on the outside of my office are very scary out of context. If you go to a fast food restaurant, do you ask for cutlery? And these are just insane questions asked by insane people. No, I get it in a paper bag through the drive-thru, and then I eat it in my car while I'm driving home. And then when I get home, I throw out the empty bag. Duh. I mean, it's one of those, and this is like not ironic now, or not intended to lampshade, but it's the kind of argument like I have very little patience for, like the older I get. It's a cell phone. So if you take offense to it, it's a cell phone before you get mad. I'm insulting myself. It's really the currency of a man who has too much time on his hands is to get in these arguments about the social norms of how to eat French fries, right? We got bigger problems right now. We could talk about, you know, it's like the same thing I bring up, like whenever I talk about like how I don't care if a hot dog is a sandwich anymore, or like, what's the other one? Oh, whether, do you think pineapple belongs on pizza? LOL, la meme. I'm always like, dude, don't tell me that, dude. Just like, why don't you talk about like your values or something instead? Like, why? I can't engage in these arguments just for rhetoric's sake anymore. With friends, yes. With strangers, like, no, it's just like, it's a waste of perfectly good neurotransmitters. That's your brand, though? No, it is, but not with you. With my friends. Not with chat. You know, when you have that foundation where, like, the argument is for sport, because you have that rapport with one another, it's a different thing than Lemington 1961 in chat. It's a different story. for chat, I want to know more about, you know, what makes you tick? What's your perfect Sunday? What's your desert island discs? I don't want to, you know, if a hot dog was in a bun and the bun had a top, would you call it a moonroof? I'm like, I don't need, Jesse, what the hell are you talking about? It's too much, it's rhetoric for rhetoric's sake. Tell, what makes you tick? What gets your gears going? Not in that way. I already know the answer. It's hentai. I like that one. I mean, like, on a spiritual level. And don't say anime. When was the last time you called your mom? What'd you say? When was the last time you told your mom, I love you, instead of waiting for her to say I love you and then you saying love you too? When was the last time you initiated that? Makes you think, man. 20 minutes ago? All right, that's pretty good. See, I'm for that. What if you don't love your mom? A wise man once said, I love my baby mama. I never let her go. Can you get mega, mega, mega Satan if you get two keys? No. I don't have a punchline for that. I got nothing. By the way, Apollo, I saw you again. You said don't say hi to me 5 minutes after I'm here. Hello. Hello, Apollo. Hello. You can't stop me. Haha. I like to acknowledge the streamers. It's nice to be watched by other streamers, you know? It's the greatest compliment you can get on this website. I'm a streamer. Okay, it's nice to be acknowledged. Okay, I'm sorry. The punchline's too good not to use, though. I was going to say I meant it's nice to be acknowledged by other partnered streamers. Which I apologize, but it do be making me lol, though. Yeah, that's Chibli's got a great ratio, you know? Chibli, at any given moment, 10% of chat has the... Has the validation check mark. Dude, you remember? I don't like all drama on like streamer social media. Well, not all drama, but all drama associated with like the right way to behave on stream is just like hilarious looking back. Do you remember there used to be like channels where if you came into chat with your verified partner badge, they would ban you because they didn't want you chatting and possibly taking viewers away from them from knowing that other partnered streamers existed? That's so good. I love the idea that you'd be like, if you're going to be in my chat, please remove your partner badge. Otherwise, I'm going to take it as advertising and time you out. It's a very funny website. Yeah, follow Apollo on Twitter. Look, I'll let you advertise in my chat. Dude, anybody that's been on the NLSS, I'm not going to tell you not to advertise in my chat. You pretty much gave me, I don't know, like 1,000 hours of free labor. Like, go ahead, man. Advertise to your heart's content. Yeah, look at that. Go ahead. Look at, he's linking you to a tweet. Okay, hold on. Let me see what he's got. Let's see what he had to say here. It's a new status. You won't want to miss... It's an advertisement for the Checkpoint League. There you go. Check it out. Go... I can't tell you how to interact with the tweet. That might be considered brigading. But what a tweet. I was happy to see it. My longest yeah boy ever. Very excited to see who takes my place, Apollo. I'm just kidding. Maybe it's Corpse Husband. Could it be Jimmy Fallon? Could it be Jimmy F? Dude, why are mafia names so funny? Before bed last night, I was just like, I was reading up on the history of the real Lucky Luciano. You know, not the guy who goes, you know, I had to do it to him. But like the actual mobster from like the 1920s and 30s. And I'm like... If you ever want just to have like they did some horrible stuff, so I'm not trying to make light of that. That being said, if you ever want an easy dose of comedy, go to Wikipedia, type in like the name of a famous crime family from La Cosa Nostra, and then just click on associates and just look at all their gamer tags. It said, Tommy Tommy Gaspipe Higgins, also known as Timmy Legbreaker Magoo, old pop bottle glass. And you're like, what the heck is he, what's he talking about? He's got so many names. You have Pepperoni, Petey Pepperoni Pizza, Baby Tony Montana Tuesday. Like, I'll show you. Okay, here's, okay, type in Meyer Lansky. Okay, Meyer Lansky is like, he was like a mafia accountant. You don't go to his name yet, okay? Now you click on Charles Lucky Luciano, and then you go a little further, okay? So you go to something like, just find someone's name. Here we go. Joe Adonis. Other names. Okay, this is not that good. This one really burned me. Also known as Joey A, Joey Adonis, Joe Adone, Joe Arosa, James Arosa, Joe DeMio. We can do better than that. What about Frankie Yale? Other names, Frankie Yale. You're really making a liar out of me, huh? I'm trying. I'm trying. Michelle Merlot, other names, Mike Merlot. All right, you know what? Can it? This bit's going nowhere. How did I come across the only three mafia members in history whose nickname was just the short form of their actual birth name? Like, that's embarrassing. That hurts. Plus, I'm going to get freaking whacked, probably. Hey, he's making fun of our name. Get him, Timmy Tulip. I'm not Timmy Tulip, I'm David Daisy. Also known as Bill the Vegan Butcher. What would your mob name be? Probably something like Harry. Dude, we're gonna frickin' die. What happened to this run? Oh, I know what happened to this run. You gotta just... Mission failed?